Hello, dear debunkers all over the world. Hope you're doing great today. Welcome to today's episode on the Moment of Truth with the Debunking Doctor 3D, and I'm your host, 3D, the Debunking Doctor. Well, I would say that something significant in the past few weeks has been the very unpredictable weather change. Or let me say changes, because even here in Nigeria, we moved between hot to cold to hot weather, I mean, in a week, and it was quite disturbing. And then, you know, at some point we started hearing things about you know, what was going on in Texas, the winter storm, you know, that left people in darkness for quite length of time. And really it was quite disturbing seeing the pictures, seeing the videos. And well, I can only pray that God helps us, you know, helps us pass through, go through these times victorious, and you know that we have testimonies at the end of this. I'm sending my love and light to everyone in Texas or anyone at all that is going through an unpleasant situation right now. I pray that God in his infinite mercies would bring you out of it and you would come out fine, you and all that concerns you, in Jesus' name. Okay, so having said that, I will just go straight into the topic of today. I should also say that right here in Nigeria, apart from, you know, the weather that is really unpredictable, we've been having lots of issues around security, and in recent times it's becoming quite unbecoming. Okay, there's been kidnappings of school children. And well, the most recent one is the one that happened in Zamfara and in the last few days, and it's been really, 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 really disturbing. And well, I really do not know what to say about the country's security right now, but then I'm just saying this so that for every listener in Nigeria, of course, we need to be more security conscious. Okay, we need to up our game as it relates to being aware of our environment, okay, and doing the little that we can to stay out of trouble, okay, the most that we can, let me say, to stay out of trouble. I pray that God continues to keep us and all that concerns us. Amen. Okay, so today, on today's episode, I had a discussion with some colleagues of mine. Mind you, we all work at University College Hospital, Ibadan. I had a discussion with them on a topic that has been on my mind for a while, and it's about the virtues and qualities that we think a person should have to study medicine, you know, to go into medicine as a medical student and then to practice medicine, well, particularly in Nigeria and of course beyond Nigeria. Okay, so today's episode is going to be debunking the myth around the qualities that you need to study medicine. You know, there are lots of things flying around. Oh, you must know book. That seems to be like the the commonest of it all. Everybody is all out to tell you, oh, you must read book. You know, I had to put this out on my WhatsApp page actually, and then people, most of the responses I got is, I would just tell the person that person must get ready to read books. Yes, that's quite correct. I have to acknowledge that. But then much more important than, you know, the readiness to read books or the ability to understand what you read or the ability to, you know, consume volumes of, you know, pages from your textbook, is actually some other virtues that people do not exactly talk about, and that leads to lots of heartbreaks, you know, for new medical students and of course medical doctors as it is. Okay, so that's what we'll be talking about today. And well, since you now know about the topic, I already figure that you know who should listen to it. So I want to believe that you'll be ready to share this with, you know, all of the persons around you that need to listen to this, secondary school graduates, people that are still in secondary school, even in primary schools. You'll be amazed how that people do not really know what they need to study a particular course. And well, the fact that I'm a medical doctor kind of put me in a good position to talk about what I think you need to study medicine. And because I know that, you know, there might be differences as to how we perceive or what we perceive is important to study medicine, I got some other people to discuss this amazing topic with me. And well, you'll be hearing their opinion too. And in the end, well, I'll try to summarize the discussion so that you can, you know, at a glance, get what we discussed in the length of through the length of our discussion. But then before I go into the whole thing, right, I would be gone for 1 minute, and then once I'm back, you would be hearing our voices. See you later. Okay, so I have three doctors here today, so you're not going to be hearing my voice only. I have Dr. Okafor, the surgical resident. I have Dr. Erivona, she's a medical officer in the emergency department, primarily. And then I have Dr. Ate, another surgical resident. And well, you know, I told you about the topic for today. It's going to be an opinion poll, I would say, right? But then I felt that if I talked about this myself, and you know, it's going to just be mine and mine alone. But then I want you to hear from other people, and then you have an idea of what this is really about. Medicine and then the other things around it. So henceforth, you're going to be hearing voices, like voices from different people. Okay, there's a female. No, I'll equalize that. So we're two females and two males. Right. Okay, so what do we do? The males first.
Actually, or females?
Why do you want to hear from me first?
I don't know.
You want to
I really don't. I really don't even know if anything has really changed
for you, right? You know, I just used to think that people who study medicine should be highly intelligent. That's primary school, secondary school. That doctors are like
first class.
Yes, first class. If there's anything like that, yeah, first position.
Collecting all the gifts and the prizes
and awards in school. Exactly. Getting to med school, I discovered that I think I would just say you have to be smart. I don't know about your medical school.
When you say smart, what yes. do you mean by smart?
When I say smart is this. Now, you can be very intelligent, and there could be a test, for example, or an exam to write, and you have a whole pile of textbooks to read, and questions will just come out from maybe just one page or two pages
that you probably skipped.
And you have people who didn't try to go through all the parts of the textbook, and they just, you know, I don't know whether Holy Spirit ministered unto them or whatever.
Because I was about to say, are you sure that is not some form of
I think there's a way, because I tried it later on and it worked.
Okay.
Because there's a way you can decipher from if you attended the lectures and you see the direction the lecturers are going to.
So you mean that it's really
like
important
that.
To go to school, in quotes, if you're in school as a medical person?
Yes, even though I feel like a hypocrite right now.
You're not going to school.
I was not going to class every time, you know. but really, I think it works to be smart, like know what to read as at when you know you have to read them.
Okay.
And also, you know, try to decipher from where questions may come out, and you know, as we say now, common things occur commonly. It's just like being in the north, for example, or being in Nigeria, and you have a pediatric exam to write and you have not read malaria,
right?
You understand,
right.
You have not
that's
read
that's not smart
that's not smart you understand you've
and
not
you're
read
reading.
And you are reading Kawasaki disease and Takayasu arthritis and all those things. It does not make any sense.
Okay.
That's the smartness I'm talking about.
Okay.
So I usually do have a list of things that are so common in our environment. Okay. In surgery, for example, you want to go in for exam and you have not read anything about managing shock or hemorrhagic shock, you know, and all those things for trauma and things like that. You are just playing, you are faffing around. So I think smartness, again, you do need some level of intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, averagely.
Funny enough, I used to think like you had to be brilliant.
Yeah.
But I don't think you have to be brilliant. I think you have to be intelligent and then open-minded.
Well, like, since we're doing the grammar game, can we break it down?
That's part of
it. Brilliance is basically like you know what you read, or like it's like in an like academic have a setting,
photographic
like,
memory
yes,
kind of thing.
Your first position kind of thing. Like okay. You say he's a brilliant child. Like you gave him what to read and he read it and he got everything.
Okay.
But then intelligence is like applying that brilliance to like daily, well, like let me say daily activities, daily situations. Like it can be different situations
mm-hmm.
that you maneuver differently, but like with the same concept. Like okay, let me give for instance, in my medical school, like we did oral exams. We didn't used to do what do you call objectives.
And mind you, she did not study medicine in Nigeria, mm-hmm. right? So let's be clear about this thing.
We didn't used to do objectives. We always used to do oral exams, and then I would read the books, like. I know the answer and I'll say it as the answer, but then I know somebody else who did not read at all, but they know how to talk in a way that seems like they know what they're saying.
It looks like
they know what they're saying. Just because
smart.
And it's very exaggerated, like you
yeah.
what they're saying might be completely rubbish, but the tone in which they're saying it, it feels correct.
Yeah.
Like so confident
okay.
in what
yeah.
you're saying.
Do you think that would have taken them? Okay, your opinion of the medical practice now.
Yeah.
What would you say as it relates to intelligence and brilliance as a medical doctor now?
Like in different situations now, you as a medical doctor, you're going to be faced with different situations. Like now, a lot of people are migrating. It's not going to be the same thing you meet there.
Okay.
And there are some questions that you might see that you don't know. Like you know you didn't read it. But from different other topics, you can try and piece two
yeah,
and two together
yeah, yeah.
to try and arrive at a conclusion. Like the one we're doing this morning.
Yeah.
Like, do you know what the GPS, GCSP score was? But like just trying to like, okay, this is probably, that's how like I feel like intelligence relates. Some people just do like a by the book thing. If it's not said in the book, if A is not A in the book, then A cannot be outside.
Okay.
And that can work as
with
a doctor.
Medicine,
yeah, you have to especially
humans are
like never say never.
And
you have to be open minded about a lot of things.
Okay.
So I think really is applying your intelligence, like being open minded about applying your intelligence.
Mm.
Don't be the doctor
rigid,
that says women can't get pregnant if they don't if you can't get pregnant if you don't or there's a case where I think someone got pregnant, she didn't have sex.
Okay.
And then you want to be the one to fight it that it's not possible.
Mm.
Is that she had sex, blah blah blah. You know that some things can happen that
you have to look.
Yeah, you have to like look inwards and you have to dig your mind and say, okay, yes, if this happened this way, it's possible, there's a chance, da 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 da.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think pre-university,
mm-hmm.
you know, the emphasis in most secondary schools is that intelligence.
Well, that's Dr. Okafor talking.
Mm-hmm.
We just finished listening to Dr. Ivona, and Dr. Ate was the first person that spoke. And mind you, and we'll come back to that because Dr. Ate is also a podcaster. Amazing stuff. Okay, Dr. Okafor, what is
stuff inside it.
Okay, so I was saying
so
that.
So you were saying something about what
yeah,
you thought before you entered the medical school.
Not just that, the way the educational system is structured, the way intelligence is judged in at the secondary school level, a lot of the intelligent people are people that can read, consume that knowledge and reproduce that knowledge. That's how the intelligence works. So you get a note in class, you read that note, you come to the exam, you produce what's in that note, and you get a high mark. So people are graded on that scale. So the people that are highly intelligent in schools, most times, for most of the schools, or let me say for many of the schools,
mm-hmm.
are people who can get that knowledge, read it, and then produce it.
Mm-hmm.
Now when you get to medicine, that becomes difficult. On the level, we are fine, but in medical school itself,
mm-hmm.
it becomes difficult to consume all the knowledge in all the textbooks because the textbooks are so freaking big. So the idea of what now makes you intelligent begins to change,
mm.
and that's when you now need to that the smarter people, like Dr. Ate said, begin to adapt.
Mm.
So I think then it then brings in the one of the most important qualities of medicine, and that's the ability to adapt.
To adapt.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So adaptation matters.
Things will keep changing on you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not just as a student, as a doctor. You know, you can have four
mm.
colleagues running
Amazing.
Running a ward with you one day, and you're going to come one day and two of them will be sick.
two of them would have written external exams and gone out.
And then you're left. I get it. Okay.
So
yes,
the most important quality then becomes your ability to adapt.
Yeah. I agree.
And that adaptation can come in. It can come in so many ways.
It can come in so many ways.
And so unexpected.
Because hardly anybody that makes it into medical school is dull.
Yeah, right.
Throughout
that makes it
into medical school.
And through
regardless of how they enter, almost nobody enters medical school is dull. So the struggle now starts.
It's dull.
Yes.
Okay.
The struggle now starts in how do you adjust to.
How you even cope
because you go from reading physics E is equals to MC squared, what happened to E squared MC to
if you don't do this they will die.
There's no relationship between E equals to MC squared and the cause of the unanimous.
Yeah.
No relationship at all. It's just completely new stuff and it is so big. Let me just anatomy. There's gross anatomy, histology, embryology. Each of these can be a full course on its own.
They are all full
courses. They are all full courses for people on their own. And then you have to find a way to marry all
this. Next, all of that.
Yeah, and then find out how you can come out of it, you know, optimally for your own, by your own definition.
Mm.
So you just have to adjust. And I think that's part of the way medical
I guess that adjusting sometimes is not handled well by a lot of
people,
seemingly intelligent ones.
Yes. And so that's why you have some of these people with A's throughout their white results and they're struggling in the first MD class. It's that adaptation. And then you have to combine going to lectures on days the 7 in the evening with reading those same books.
For your next class.
So, but I think.
Also, you were able to read for your next class.
Happy day before.
You were supposed to.
That's not it.
I can't remember if
doing
if I was,
that right.
Nah, I can't remember.
Okay,
that.
I should imagine.
I think that's how my system was. You had to read for the next class the day before because you were going to be quizzed on it.
On it, right?
Yes. Amazing. And that's where you're going to get your class marks from.
No, but
okay.
So you literally had to do it.
I had no choice. I would suffer more.
Because your class marks were a proportion of your final marks.
Well, that's an Oyibo doctor talking. So if you
have class marks.
Yeah.
No, for some of us, everybody, if you discovered through your in medical school, people had different ways they. There were people in my class that barely went to class. They were just in their room reading.
So it's really about you understanding who you are and then making the most of
of your own abilities.
Okay.
But the good thing is that it kind of trains you for the medical practice itself.
Okay.
Because if you're able to adapt through that 6 years of medical school.
Six plus X years of medical school.
Right. Because I was in medical school for 7 years, baby. Okay.
So,
mm-hmm.
so if you're able to adapt through that training, then you'll most likely be able to adapt through the profession itself, at least at whatever level you are in. Of course, as what you have to adapt to as a house officer and as a medical officer, as a resident, they're all different.
Mm-hmm.
And each one kind of prepares you for the next day.
Okay, so adaptation, that's one thing I just got from there.
What do you guys think about passion too?
I was going to mention passion.
Because if you don't like the fact that you're going to be a medical doctor very much, if you don't like that idea very much, there are a lot of things, you know, from going
that
to ward rounds in medical school and someone is telling you you only have cotton wool in your brain, you can't learn anything.
You
don't have that passion to know that you have to wake up at night and read till morning and go to ward rounds and they still tell you that whatever you have read is still rubbish. You are still going to get insulted and everything, and you still keep pushing. I think the passion too makes.
So, how many people had passion that went into medical school?
Well,
in our own country, like let's take it down to a more relatable level.
Yeah, well, I'm one of them.
It's not common.
I'm one of them. The first admission I got in this country was to study zoology. And I declined.
To study?
Yes.
To study what?
Zoology.
Zoology. Okay.
Yes.
Zoology.
And I declined.
Dentistry.
The second admission I got was to study physiology.
Okay.
And I started with that. And at 200 level or so,
mm-hmm.
I got medicine.
Okay.
And I ended up studying the medicine for 9.5 years.
What the?
Yes.
Where?
In the University of Jos.
What the hell?
So I must really have had the passion, right?
Yeah.
To actually study.
So is this supposed to be
medicine?
Like,
was it passion? Was it passion or you just wanted to finish what you started?
Uh-huh, that's another.
No, it's not finishing what I started. It's the fact that I have to finish it, whatever it is. Because of course I was at 500 level already in coach. We stopped using levels at some point.
Yeah.
We just say O and G class,
okay.
Or we just say pathology class.
Because 700
you understand.
Like
so
like
then
so
at some point we would have 6A, 6B, you know, 6C, and things like that.
Okay, that's not normal, dear listeners. That is not normal.
Yeah, and the reason is none other than crisis. You have a lot of strikes. Crisis majorly anyway, a lot of people were killed and stuff like that. So you at some point my parents opted for, you know, me going to another university and stuff. They wanted to start working that out and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought about the issues surrounding, you know, transcripts, getting into the system and trying to adjust, like Dr. Okafor, because I know every medical school has their own issues.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so trying to adjust to another system and all that. So I had to weigh that against going out someday and getting killed, literally.
Hmm.
And at the end of the day, I was
so
like,
insecurity
no,
has been a thing in this country for a while.
It has been there since 2000 and something, or even 1990 something.
Hmm.
So I think at some point it was passion. I had another choice of doing music full time. And I was really good at it. I mean, guys that were doing that at that time, some of them are in South Africa doing good, some of them are in the UK doing good, their names are everywhere and stuff like that. And I was as good as, you know, as they come then.
Okay.
But at the same time, I had to make a decision because music can be very, very jealous, and medicine as a girlfriend too can be very jealous. So you can't have two jealous wives, you know, bickering at each other every day. So you had to choose between two jealous wives, which one you would go for. And I eventually chose medicine. I gave out my bass guitar, I gave out everything music that I had, just so I would not wake up in the middle of the night and say I want to do a rehearsal of some sort or the other.
Okay.
So I think I've been able to convince you and not confuse you. Dr. Erivona,
no, passion,
that
right?
This was basically passion.
So if
passion.
You had a choice now, okay, wait, it was passion that got you through school.
Yeah, it was passion that got me through school.
But what? Into school
in the
okay,
first
but is
place.
It still the same now?
In Nigeria,
yes,
hardly.
It is still passionate.
In Nigeria, hardly. But as a doctor, yes.
It's still passion.
Yes,
taking
it's,
through
it's still passion taking me through.
Okay, so would it be correct for me to say that parents or teachers or guardians should not or should desist from the habit of forcing people, their children and all of that, to study medicine?
Oh, very much
their
so.
Own
of
passion.
Course,
I mean,
not force. They should stop forcing.
Mm-hmm.
But they can,
or you know, maybe
advise.
Like shoving
they
down
can,
their throat.
Yeah,
can,
definitely
can,
not. Anything,
had,
anything you have to force is bad.
I had not less than two friends. Like very good
but you
friends.
Did have some influence too. Did you have influence
to study medicine,
from like maybe
any form of
influence?
You wouldn't believe the influence if I told you.
Okay, say would believe.
what was it?
I kind of influenced myself in a way, and that way was the
you read
fact
a book?
That, no. That way was the fact that I hated maths to my bone marrow.
You hated mathematics, are
yes,
you for real?
I hated maths to my bone marrow. And while I was going through what I felt I would love to do as a secondary school boy, first of all, I felt like, okay, I loved biology. It always, you know, it's always fascinating and things
good.
Like that. Makes me feel good.
Yeah.
Chemistry, physics were also favorites and loves. But, you know, while going through the brochure, that's the jam brochure then, right? I was like, okay. Everything I wanted to do, like I think I wanted to take after my dad at some point to do some engineering course or the other, and I saw this further
additional
maths. No, there's this book by K.A. Stroud, I can't forget the name, There's this book by K.A. Strutt. It's a kind of a mathematics, very big like this, and it was crazy. And I learned that engineering students in 100 level or 200 level use that book, and beyond that, it's even obsolete. I'm like, oh, okay,
okay,
yeah, I'm in for it. So at some point, I was now looking for courses that do not have
mathematics
or that do not need you to write mathematics in JAM.
Okay.
And I learned it was science courses. I was like, okay, what science courses? And say medical science courses. I'm like, oh, okay, that now we are getting somewhere. And I was like, okay, so what other courses? And someone said, medicine, microbiology, I think, and all those courses that you don't need to do maths in JAM. And I was like, okay. That's all right.
Okay, so somehow you got into medical school without maths
in JAM.
Yeah,
sure. You don't write maths in JAM.
You just have to do English, chemistry, physics, and
You just have to have it in WAEC. Yeah,
that's very true.
I honestly don't think passion got me through.
Okay.
I felt when I was leaving secondary school, I don't think passion got me into, definitely not. Because when I was leaving secondary school, I felt like I could do
anything.
Like, I had the option. I wanted engineering, lawyer, doctor. I wanted to do almost everything. Actress. But then, influence. Like, I kind of felt like medicine was the superior. And of course, everybody wants the best for themselves.
Oh, yes.
And then, I had this book. That's why I mentioned the book. I had this Think Big. And of course, it was a very, like, when you read it as a child, it's a very, what's the word? It's very overpowering. It's very, like, definitely I must do this. He's the best. There's nobody like him.
Okay.
But if you read it as an adult, you realize that it's not, you know, also great. But then I just really thought medicine is, like, the superior, is the king. All other occupations bow down to medicine.
Yeah.
And that's how I chose medicine out of everything. But really,
so
I've,
has that changed?
I still feel like I can do anything. Like, I still feel like
okay,
if I had a choice.
Medicine is superior to...
No, definitely not. I feel like everybody has a job for a reason.
Yeah.
And everybody's job is important.
It's important.
I think I have just one sibling doing medicine. And the others are doing, like, something completely different. And one time I was talking to my sister about her project. Well, she and my dad were talking. And my dad is a banker. My sister is studying accounting. And what I was hearing, it sounded like jargon. Honestly, it sounded like jargon.
Yeah.
I couldn't understand one word they were speaking. And it, to me, it was just like, I think medicine is all that. But I really can relate to what they're doing. And
same.
These are people like handling money that you use every day.
Yeah.
Their job is probably more important because,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I can, people do without going to the hospital for years. You can't do without money. You can't do without a job for years. You can't do without all that stuff.
Yeah.
So I feel like, I honestly feel like if I had the choice, like if I had a pressing reason to change career, I wouldn't mind.
Okay.
Because I, like, literally every job is important to me now. Every single job is engineering what?
Yeah.
Lawyers, I feel like they're even disrespected the most because all that trouble just to end... Like,
what
the ends, and it's not fair at all. So definitely, passion. That's why I don't feel like I have passion, and it's really a bad thing because I want to find my passion. But I honestly just feel like I can do it all if I apply my mind to it. Because I mean, I got through medicine without
this passion
in quotes. Yes.
Okay.
So,
yeah, I mean, it's not everybody that has the story of they were. Going somewhere with their mom and they saw someone fall
they've been like,
by the roadside and then they felt they would have been able to help the person if they had
so
blah 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 and they felt
and
nah it's not everybody that has
that
well
story.
Even myself it was one of my secondary school teachers primary school I was in primary five when just like you said I had no idea of, I mean what it means or what I would want to do or want to be really. It was just I could do do anything if I really want to do it. And then boom, 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 my teachers will say, oh, you're going to really do well as a medical doctor.
Like all adults.
You exactly, you know, that feeling that, oh, you should be a medical doctor kind of thing. Well,
and then you just
I would also say that I was doing well with most of my subjects, right? And then you just feel that, oh, with this you can study medicine. And well, at that time I had nothing in my mind. It wasn't like I had something I was looking to do. So when he mentioned it, and then was looking, okay, let's look at it. And you know, and yeah, just like Dr. Ate's story, it wasn't like I got into medicine in 100 level, right? I was in biochemistry. And then I stayed at home for 3 years, people.
Just to get that medicine.
Not exactly to get medicine. It was some Nigerian factor. Blah, blah, blah. I wrote jam, and I passed at every instance. But then
we
went for UTME, result never came out. Some people started the session, and then you were not invited. Until now, I still do not understand why Ife refused to take me. Yes, I said it. But then, you know, biochemistry came, and then someone just, you know, spoke with me that I could start with that and then cross over to medicine over time. And, you know, I just took it up. But then it was real work. University of Ibadan, no good.
It's not easy to cross over.
I read because, you know, they needed like a minimum of, like, I think it was either a very strong 2-1 or distinction for you to cross over to medicine. And you must have done all the medicine courses plus other courses that you need to do in your own field or department. So it was a lot of work for me, but then somehow it worked, and then I crossed over into 100 level. But then at that time I would say that, you know, it was becoming clearer the fact that I could really cope with people's troubles, because it's a bit difficult to deal with sick people. And for me, really, yes, I know Dr. Kapoor mentioned adjusting, well, which might be all encompassing, but then I feel that patience and love for people would really, really take you through, well, medical school, and yes, you have to read a lot. And well, exactly. And then practicing medicine, especially in a place like Nigeria, you're going to need lots of patience, and you're going to
tenacity.
Need like love for people. You need to really love people, because there are so many things that are out to frustrate your effort.
Yeah.
Even when you're doing your best, you know, people do not recognize it. You know, you're doing so much, and then nobody's saying well done or thank you, and then you're sweating your ass out trying to take care of people. And then, you know, it's funny because even you as a Nigerian have a problem, perhaps you're battling with something too as a person,
of course,
and that and you're out there also taking care of other people.
So in summary, like, we think that, you know, the qualities and the virtues that are quite important for a successful sojourn through the medical school and, you know, as a medical doctor in Nigeria include adaptation, just as Dr. Kafo mentioned that, you know, the ability to adapt actually makes a lot of difference. And he also said that, and of course, it was corroborated by Dr. Ate at some point, that, you know, different medical schools have different peculiarities. And, you know, what makes the difference for new people that are coming in is their ability to pick up those peculiarities and use it to their own advantage. So it's important to be able to shift, adjust, and adapt. You know, you cannot afford to be rigid. Okay, that takes me to that point. As a medical student, as a medical doctor, you cannot afford to be rigid. You have to be flexible. Remember, Dr. Rivona really, really mentioned that. She said it is important to be flexible. You cannot afford to be the person that says, no, if it's not this way, then it is no other way. No, medicine cannot, you cannot do medicine that way. You cannot study medicine that way. You need to be able to shift. You know, you cannot do, oh, this is what they told me, and then that is what it's going to be. You have to be able to, you know, sort through things yourself and pick up what you think is, I mean, would work for you as a person. Okay, the most. And then apart from that, yeah, we talked about passion. We're not really here or there, but well, passion almost always makes a difference, you know, for different persons. It helps you to go through the hard times, and then, you know, it helps you come out well, you know, after really trying times. So yes, passion is good, and it is important, especially for a course like medicine. And yes, one other thing that I would also like to mention is that I'm still on that passion line, is that, you know, really, parents, guardians, adults at home, yes, you can influence your children in one way or the other. You can tell them about medicine. You can let them know the beauty in the profession. But as much as you can, don't remember not to dwell on the positives alone. As much as you can, let them know, you know, the other things that would come with it. And yes, after all of that, allow them make up their minds. Allow them think through things themselves. Allow them, you know, make that decision consciously. Okay, do not force. I repeat, as a parent, as a guardian, do not force your children to study medicine. Okay, and not just medicine, really. Do not force them to study any course. As a matter of fact, remember that, well, yes, maybe when we're growing up, you know, they told us many things about medicine, but right now we have come to understand that any job is a good job. Okay, there is no better job. Everyone's job is very important. So it's not about being a medical doctor or being a musician or being an artist or being, you know, people are doing amazingly well in every field. I mean, especially at a time like this, right? So it's really not about that. So let your children, or you know, the people that you have influence on, let them be able to consciously make up their minds about the course they want to study. Do not force them to study medicine because you want to be called Baba Doctor or Ya Doctor. Yeah, I know that is peculiar to Nigerians, right? Okay, but that should not be the reason you would force any of your children to study medicine, or because you studied medicine, then a child or one of your children has to, you know, really study medicine. No, it should never be. Let them make up their minds, you know, having told them what you know, and do not give them a one-sided story. Tell them about the good side of medicine, and remember to also mention the challenges that would be there so that they can make an informed decision about the course they want to do. And well, I'd also said it that there is no course that is superior, right? Medicine is not the ultimate. We have to let that sink into our heads. Medicine, I mean, being a medical doctor or being in the medical field is not the ultimate. It's really about doing whatever job you have in your hands and doing it well. And of course, doing it to help the other person, you know, making the other person happy, because that is where our happiness lies. It's in making the other person happy. That's where we find our own happiness. Okay, so whatever job that your aunt finds doing, you make sure you do it well, right? And then I hope I did not miss anything. Yeah, and I hope that I've been able to really, really summarize all that we talked. Yes, and then for myself, I also added patience, you know, the fact that you really need to be patient, especially when you're dealing with sick people, people that are not, you know, very fine. And that's why they are called patients, right? To treat patients, you need to be patient. Okay, and then love for people. That is what makes the difference. You need to really love people, right? And well, that's like the summary of everything that I have here. And I really, really wish you the very best, you know, for anybody at all who has made up his or mind about studying medicine. I wish you the very best. And for whoever else has, you know, decided to study something else, I wish you the very best too. Just make sure you give it your best. What is worth doing at all is worth doing well. Okay, someone just reminded me of a fact that I forgot to mention: intelligence. Yes, intelligence. It's important to be intelligent to study medicine. But then the question is, intelligence is needed in every other field, right? I mean, is there any course that anybody studies without being intelligent? Yeah. So, I mean, we really do not have to paint it so huge. I mean, paint it, you know, so important to study medicine. Yes, we need intelligence to study any course at all. But much more than intelligence is actually diligence in medicine, because there's a lot to read. There are books and there are books. Yes, to say the truth, there's a lot to read and a lot to understand, because your being a sick doctor eventually lies on how much understanding you have of the things you had read before, how much you can connect them. Right, okay, so that's it's important to be intelligent, and it's important to, you know, be ready to apply those, I mean, that understanding in whatever situation you find yourself. And of course, apart from the intelligence, will be the other qualities that we discussed today. And well, I should say that we discuss from the perspective of the medical doctors, right? Sometimes, you know, your patients might feel otherwise. You know, people that had had interactions with medical doctors, maybe in a clinic or hospital, or maybe at an outreach or something, you just feel, yes, I agree with some of the things you said, or I don't even agree with them, but I think this quality is important for a medical doctor or a medical student or for someone to go through medical school, you know, judging from your own experience. I would really, really, really love to hear from you. And just before I close today's episode, I should mention, remember that I had Dr. Ate on today's episode. He's a podcaster. I just niched. He's a podcaster too, and he's doing amazingly well. Okay, in fact, his own podcast, yes, is also on medicine and health, but then he has something for even resident doctors. Remember, he's a surgical resident, which means that he's studying to become a surgeon, right? And so he has this way of dishing out stuff to other residents in such a way that it helps them to understand, you know, really important part of their residency, yeah, surgery as it is. And apart from that, he also does lots of public health awareness, and then he has discussed or talked about amazing and beautiful topics. You can find him on, okay, the title actually of his podcast is A Little Bit of Stuff, A Little Bit of Stuff with Dr. Nick. Nick is N-I-C-K, A Little Bit of Stuff with Dr. Nick. And I am assuring you that every minute you spend on there will be very worthwhile. All right, so having said all of that, I would like to leave you to enjoy the rest of your week, as I would also enjoin you to please stay safe and be security conscious. Bye.